Today in the Warren Ganny Radio Bible School, we're going to study an old Sunday school lesson about the call of Isaiah to become a prophet. The title of this lesson is Isaiah's Call and Glorious Vision. It's part of a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of October the 23rd, 1927. I'm going to begin the lesson by reading Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. I was reading that as the time ran out on us in our last class, so I'll pick that up and read that again, and then we'll read from Elam's notes about this most momentous call of Isaiah. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read the text, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he touched my mouth with it, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin forgiven. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. In our lesson text we see, Isaiah was called in the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah saw this vision. Some think this vision marks the beginning of Isaiah's work as a prophet, but this is hardly probable because prophets, like other servants of God, grew and developed in their prophetic work from one degree of service to another, and the vision in this chapter shows a high degree of advancement in close relationship to God. Fidelity in little prepares one for the reception of much. So being faithful in much, God gave Elijah a true insight into the conditions and affairs, the cause and the remedy. He saw it all clearly and felt it keenly. The more righteous he became and the nearer to God he drew, the more heinous and terrible became to him the sins and crimes of his people, and the more deeply he felt them for the awful retribution which overhung them. All this is in the book of Isaiah, but it was not all revealed to him at the same time. This was a glorious vision. The Lord sitting on a throne in the most holy place in the temple, high and lifted up, while the skirts of his garments filled the temple, and above him stood the seraphim, each one having six wings. With two wings a seraph covered his face, with two wings his feet, and with two he flew. The seraphim, it seems, correspond to the cherubim, whose wings overshadowed the mercy seat in the temple over the ark. From between the two cherubims which were upon the ark of the testimony, above the mercy seat, God gave commandment concerning the children of Israel. The four living creatures in Ezekiel's vision had each four wings, but in the vision of John on Patmos, the living creatures had each one of them six wings. John saw a throne set in heaven, and these four living creatures round about the throne. Some say that covering their faces with two wings showed humility, and covering their feet with two wings showed respect. But I do not know and care not to guess. The twofold mission of the seraphim was to declare the holiness and praise of Jehovah and to communicate Jehovah's message through Isaiah to the people. The one cried unto another, or spoke alternatively, it seems, "Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." So said the four living creatures in John's vision. In Revelation 4, 8 through 11, it says, "The foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him that crieth, and the house was filled with smoke," Isaiah 6 and verse 4. "Sinai quaked greatly when God came down upon it and spoke, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven," Hebrews 12:26. The smoke may have been to veil the presence of Jehovah, as the cloud of incense covered the mercy seat when the high priest went into the most holy place, Leviticus 16:12-13. This vision and prophecy, like others, not only referred to the people then, but to Christ and the Jews of his day. John 12:14 says that this vision Isaiah spoke of Christ. "These things," saith Isaiah, "because he saw his glory and spake of him." Isaiah felt his sinfulness, and that he was undone in the presence of God. He recalls how God said to Moses, "Thou canst not see my face, for a man cannot see me and live," Exodus 33:20. Different ones saw angels in God's glory, but this filled them with fear and trembling, as in the case of Moses and the children of Israel. Gideon, that judge, and Manoah, Peter, James, and John on Mount Sinai. When Isaiah declared that he was a man of unclean lips and dwelt in the midst of a people of unclean lips, one of the seraphim touched his mouth with a live coal which he had taken from the tongs up from the altar, and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins forgiven." Well, we have Isaiah's response. In Isaiah 6 and verse 8, when the Lord said, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Isaiah answered in humility and submission, "Here I am, send me." Samuel, when a child, said to Jehovah, "Speak, for thy servant heareth," 1 Samuel 3:10. Saul of Tarsus said in Acts 22:10, "What shall I do, Lord?" Saul meant not only what he should do in order to be saved from his past sins, but what should he do at all times, and that he would do whatever God would have him to do in the future. Therefore, when God sent him to the Gentiles, he went. Everyone now should manifest the spirit of Isaiah and be as ready to work for and spread the gospel and to do every other duty. Every Christian is ready to do this. One cannot become a Christian or live the life of a Christian without being always ready to do God's will. Isaiah's message is stated in chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Here we read, "And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn again and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be waste without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land become utterly waste. And Jehovah hath removed men far away, and the forsaken places be many in the midst of the land. And if there be yet a tent in it, it also shall be turned and eaten up as a timbereth, and as an oak whose stock remaineth when they are felled. So the holy seed is the stock thereof. This tells us that the message which God sent through Isaiah to the people was a sad one indeed. Jesus and Paul frequently quote this passage and apply it to the Jews of their day. They say it was fulfilled by the Jews of their day. The prosperity, luxury, ease, pleasure, fashion, vanity, pride, and evil associations described in the earlier chapters of Isaiah had closed the eyes and stopped the ears of the people against the truth and the true worship of God. Their hearts became fat and slow and dead to acts of obedience to God. God had predicted that when the people have eaten, become full, and wax fat, they would turn to idols and despise him and break his covenant. And Jerusalem, or Israel, waxed fat and kicked, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 15. Jesus said the people closed their eyes and stopped their ears and would not understand with their hearts and would not turn that which he might heal them. It is said that Isaiah closed the eyes and stopped the ears and made fat the hearts of the people because he declared their true condition, and they didn't want to hear it. This sad message is like Jeremiah's declaration. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved, at Jeremiah 8 and verse 20. And Jesus' lamentation over Jerusalem, how long would I have gathered thee together, and ye would not. Isaiah said, how long? How long was he to preach? How long was this sad condition of the people to continue? The response was, until the cities be waste without inhabitant, houses be without man, the land become utterly waste, and Jehovah had removed men far away, and the forsaken places be many in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth of the people be left, it shall be turned up and eaten up. There should nothing be left, but only a remnant called the holy seed, which was the stock or the substance, like the roots of a terebinth tree or of an oak. The terebinth was a small tree of Palestine, from whose stump, when cut down, new branches would spring up. So the remnant left of God's people was like this stump. The condition continued until the Babylonian captivity, until the personal ministry of Jesus on earth, until the final destruction of Jerusalem, and it still continues. Now at the end of this Sunday school lesson is a little rhyme that I'll read. Dumb idols, having hearts of stone, heed not the sinner's cry. If I heed not the mission's call, what better heart have I? After the studying of the call of those prophets, we have two lessons that are going to follow on Amos and his prophecies. One of them is called Amos Denounces Sin. The next lesson will be Amos Pleas for Justice. The lesson on Amos Denounces Sin is a temperance lesson. Now remember, these Sunday school lessons were written in 1927, and that was the time when temperance was emphasized because of the problems due to the consumption of alcohol. Temperance means self-controlled. And when it comes to alcohol, the best self-controlled is don't drink it. don't drink it at all, because the more you drink, the less control you have.